Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. There's a young man walking rather briskly who's going to get run over. Dude, look out. Hey, while you're walking fast, can I talk to you on the radio?
Sure.
You're a friendly guy. What's your first name?
I'm Dan.
Dan, nice to meet you. How do you do?
Pretty good.
Well, you're way perkier than I am. What are you studying here?
I'm a civil engineering student.
Civil engineering. So you want to be a very polite engineer?
Hopefully.
Alrighty then. So, dude, I was just having a chat. What religion are you?
Catholic.
You're Catholic. Okay, good. I was just having a chat with a guy who said he was a Christian. Okay. And I asked him to convert me.
Okay.
And he had nothing for me.
Okay.
Could you convert me? Would you please? I'm asking you.
What argument are you against it?
I'm a seeker in the universe, and I'm trying to figure out life. As the years ebb by, I get a sense that they're coming to a close, and I better get my house in order. So I'm thinking about things.
Okay. If there was no God, and say you're right, then how there's still evil in the world, but how do you explain all the good? People just doing what they want?
Just haven't really thought about it.
Just haven't thought about it?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
But I'm not sure. Where are you taking me? Help me out. Where are you going with me?
I'm just saying that, I mean, usually... The most common argument against a God is that there's still evil in the world.
I'm not fighting with you. I'm asking you, sign me up for your faith. What's in it for me?
What's in it for you?
Yeah.
Salvation.
What does that mean?
Being saved eternally in the end.
Okay. So going to heaven is what I hear you saying.
Yes.
You hesitated on me.
Well, I mean, if you live your life properly and live as a true Christian.
Okay, yes. So I have to be a good person.
Yes.
And then I go to heaven.
Not necessarily. I mean, I think and believe that there's more to it than just being, quote, a good person. It's helping others and truly living... Well, but I mean, being good is kind of an understatement. It's truly living your life for God.
So being really good.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so I think, best I can tell, I'm living really good.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like I need to be Catholic.
I don't necessarily think you have to be Catholic to make it to heaven.
What do I need to be?
Just...
Be good.
Yeah.
Are you good?
I mean, I believe Jewish people, Muslim people, and everybody can make it to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think, like, you have to do everything that Catholics do. I mean, that's just what I believe, and that's...
Okay, I understand.
My beliefs.
So do you think that you're making your way to heaven through your goodness?
I hope so.
How do you know?
How do you know?
Yes.
I mean, you have
things... You seem like a nice fellow, but I suspect you do things that are not good, right?
Well, yes. I mean, everybody...
Tells lies?
Yeah.
Do you tell lies?
At times. I try to stay away from it.
Everybody steals. Do you steal?
No.
Ever?
I did once years ago.
Okay. How's about purity of heart? What's going on in your brain? You look like a nice, clean-cut fellow, but what's going on inside, like lusting, sexual thoughts and desires?
Everybody runs into those, I believe.
Okay.
But it's how you react to those that really matters. And if you let them overtake and consume your life, then that's where it becomes a problem. But yeah. If you think about them and then move past it and see the good in that other person, that's where you can...
But isn't it still a sin to have lustful thoughts?
I think it's human nature.
Could be, but that would still be a sin, wouldn't it?
Sin is human nature as well. I mean... We were born into sin through the sin of Adam and Eve back in the day.
Okay.
And so that's kind of something we have to deal with, that is our human nature.
Right.
But again, if you can get over that and defeat the sin, then that's where you can be a good person and make it to heaven.
Mm-hmm. So right now, where do you stand? Are you a good person? Have you overcome the lusting and the lying and anything else? So you don't have to be perfect, just pretty good to get to heaven. Let me try this angle, all right? I'm looking at this from a judge standpoint. If a guy stood in front of me and said, "Judge, I'm an innocent man, but I've broken the laws," I'd say, "Well, you're confused, you're deluded, you're not innocent, mm-hmm. you're guilty." And if somebody said to me, you're good, but you've done bad things, I'd say, I think you're confused. Doing bad things makes you a bad person.
Doesn't I don't believe
it?
That.
Where am I off in my logic?
Because society kind of drives us to do bad things as well. I mean, it's the outside influence that drives us to do these bad things. And in the end, God is our one judge, and
I understand, but wouldn't the judge say, that's kind of the devil made me do it excuse? You're blaming others for your crimes?
Yes.
I mean, these days an individual doesn't get to stand before a judge and say, yes, I committed that crime, but society, it's pretty rough out there, judge. The judge would say it's irrelevant. You are liable for your crimes.
You have to be responsible for what you do, but it's as bad as it is to say, like, society does shape who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just got out of an ethics kind of class that basically that's the whole
sure.
gist of the class.
Yeah, like it can influence you and cause you to be a Democrat or a Republican or a capitalist or a communist, but you individually are still responsible for whether or not you lie and lust and steal and cheat and gossip and blaspheme, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, dude, if you've done those things, I'm having a hard time understanding this. It sounds to me like your system is, if you do something bad, make up for it by doing something good, and then God kind of washes the slate clean, and you're set to go.
God's going to wash the slate clean no matter what.
Really?
He's an ever-forgiving God that looks past those things and looks on the good in your life.
Okay, but that, to me, sounds like a judge who lets criminals go without punishing them. I don't like that idea at all. I don't think he's a good judge if he does that.
He forgives them.
I understand, but that's the same thing. If you're guilty, and the judge says, forget about it.
Forgiveness and letting someone go is not the same thing.
What's the difference?
You can forgive someone that committed a crime against you and your family, but he's still in jail.
So there's still a punishment.
Forgiveness is something in the heart. It's not
okay.
Like whether he's rotting in jail
or not.
All
right, so God forgives. What's he going to do with your crimes then?
Forgets about them.
Well, I don't think that makes sense, because then he would no longer be a just judge. He'd be a very corrupt judge.
No, because he does the same for everybody.
It's irrelevant. It's still not upholding justice. If there were, let's say that everybody on this campus got pulled in before a judge for fill in the blank, whatever crime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the judge just said, I'm forgiving you all and letting you go. Has he upheld justice?
In society's sense of justice, no.
Okay. So he would not be a just judge, right?
Correct.
So if God just lets people go just because, he would not be
just. He's going to let you go
just
when you're truly sorry for those sins.
Okay. Imagine again, let's go back to the courtroom analogy.
Okay.
A criminal stands before the judge and says, Judge, I'm really, 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 really sorry.
Okay.
If the judge said, oh, okay, you're really sorry, I'll let you go. There's still a problem. He's contrite, and he should be, but that does not satisfy justice. The judge still cannot say, you're free to go. Everybody who's in jail has said they're sorry. But that does not
remove. Because society has
the
laws
the
that the judge is bound by.
Exactly, and so does God, because God is the law. He is the judge, and he wrote the laws.
Okay.
And his standard would be things like lying and stealing and lusting or being angry with somebody or gossiping or cheating or dishonoring your parents or blaspheming. Those are his standard, and everybody who breaks those laws should be punished. And even if they try to do really good, imagine a criminal who broke a law, stood before the judge and said, yes, judge, I am guilty. I have broken the laws, but I washed your windows on your car on the way in here. The judge would say, that has no bearing on your court case. You have broken the law. You are guilty. I must punish you. I am sworn to uphold justice. So if that's reasonable and logical, what I just laid out,
mm-hmm.
if you've broken God's laws and I've broken God's laws, best I can figure this out, you and I are going to stand before God and we are going to be in a world of hurt. We're going to be judged for what we have done. And I've got a feeling that the punishment for our crimes is going to be exceedingly severe.
So you're believing that God does not forgive you?
I haven't heard you say any reason why he should.
Why he should?
Yes.
While we're responsible for our actions, I mean, it's the kind of thing like, he looks at the good in you. Like, everybody does have good. I believe that everyone is innately good. While we're, you know, we still have that original sin and, you know, there's negative influences.
You know, dude, you're a really nice guy. Honestly, I like you, but you just said something. You think we're good, and yet we've got original sin. Which is it?
Everybody is innately good. But
we all sin, right? Didn't we just agree to that?
Influences around us lead us to sin.
Irrelevant. There's people who have grown up with a silver spoon in their mouth, and it just doesn't matter. Have you ever been to, like, the McDonald's Playland?
Yeah.
We're monsters as kids. You know, really? Have you seen a kid?
But it's all an innocent fun.
Hmm.
I mean, it was for me, at least.
Well, perhaps, but if you take a close look at it, kids can be very wicked at heart. And besides that, you're not a kid anymore.
Okay.
You're a grown man. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're honest with yourself, when you think about your desires and your thoughts and your attitudes and your lack of gratitude toward God, really? A good guy at heart?
Yes. I believe everyone's good at heart.
Everybody? But Saddam Hussein and Adolf Hitler, Osama bin Laden.
Everybody was on the same plane when they were born. It's how they were raised and what society they were in.
All right, dude, you're walking this way. I have to take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll keep chatting, but I don't want to keep holding you up, okay?
Okay.
All right, listen, you're a nice young man.
Thank you.
This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time, they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs, you know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event, going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org.
Books of the Bible. God called the prophet Jonah to preach repentance in Nineveh. Jonah fled, but he could not outrun God. He was cast into the sea and swallowed by a great fish. Jonah repented, and God spared him. Jonah then preached in Nineveh, and they repented. God is compassionate and merciful, and he is calling men from all nations to repentance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let me try to reason with you for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Because I've been trying to challenge your thinking a little bit.
Okay.
And your understanding of justice and what God should do with people who are unjust.
Okay.
People who break his laws are unjust. They are unrighteous. And they should be at the receiving end of God's punishment and his justice because they've broken laws primarily against him.
Okay.
Okay. So when the Bible says something like all liars will have their part in a lake of fire, yikes, he means it. Mm-hmm. And so when he says, if you take his name in vain, he will not hold you blameless, who takes his name in vain, God is going to have a day of judgment that he has set aside where he's going to judge the world in righteousness. Every Buddhist, every Baptist, everybody
mm-hmm.
who has broken his laws, the books will be opened up. And if that's true for you, and if that's true for me, what I've tried to share with you, your efforts to try to clean up the books are not going to help you any more than a criminal who says, imagine, what was the big Ponzi schemer guy? What was his name? Madoff, Bernie Madoff.
Okay.
Remember? Mm-hmm. He's the guy who took millions or billions of dollars from celebrities and rich people, and he got busted for it. Now imagine he stands before the judge and said, Judge, yes, I embezzled billions of dollars, but I have given over $30 million to the Red Cross. What would the judge say to him?
He'd still convict him.
Exactly. So you've broken God's laws, and if you try to say to him, but I've done good, you're still going to be convicted.
Okay.
So that means you and I are entirely helpless. We are hopeless and helpless unless there's another solution. And here's what I would suggest the solution is for you, my Roman Catholic friend. Right? It's not works, because all of your works, the Bible says, are like filthy rags, because they come from what you said, a corrupt nature, a mm-hmm. sinful nature. And when we offer up our good works to God, they're tainted. Just like if Osama bin Laden offered you $100, you'd go, ugh, who wants that coming from those filthy hands? I don't want anything to do with it. The same thing with your good works offered to God by yourself are worthless to him and offensive to him. Okay?
Okay.
There's a better solution to our problem. Jesus Christ, the God-man, saw your problem and in his mercy and compassion and loving kindness came to this earth and took on human form, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was beaten by men, he was spat upon, and he was hung on a cross where he gasped for air and died for you. The Bible describes this as the great exchange. You're the guilty man. Jesus is the perfect God-man. You've broken all the laws. Jesus kept every single law. The punishment that you deserve was put on Jesus Christ so that if you will respond to the good news that God died for sinners by repenting, what that means is you agree with God, I'm not good. I agree that you and you alone, not the Buddhist, not the anything else, you are the true and living God, and I have sinned against you and offended you, and you turn from your sins, not in perfection, but in a different direction, no longer loving sins and self and self-righteousness, and you say you're sorry, and you put your trust in Jesus and in him alone. The Bible says when you do that, the good works of Jesus will be credited to your account. The punishment you deserve has been laid on him so that you can be forgiven by God, not earning your way or working your way, but completely forgiven. And that way, when you die, you go to heaven not based on your works, but based on his works. And that way, he gets all the credit for you going to heaven. Because if you contribute even this much to you going to heaven, you can then get to heaven and say, well, but I did something. I mean, I did something to earn my way here. And God did it all when he died on the cross and said, it is finished, so that he can get all of the credit. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, book in the Bible. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. That is so crystal clear. You and I can be forgiven. You and I can have our sins washed away, not by our goodness, but by his. But we have got to respond to that good news in humility. You're not a good man. You're a bad man, just like me, just like this, just like all of us, just like the Bible says. And when you're honest with yourself, you've maybe been trying really hard. You know your heart and what's going on in your head. And you might not be Osama bin Laden, But you've had plenty of lusting, lying, cheating, stealing, dishonoring your parents. And if nothing else, friend, think of all the times that you have breathed air in this conversation and didn't thank God for it. We're little rebels at heart that God wants to save so that he can point to us for all eternity and say, this is how good I am. Instead of sending him to hell, I saved him and forgave all of his sins. And he wants to turn you into the image of his son, Jesus, so that he can point to you and say, this is how good I am. I should have crushed him like a bug, but instead I swept down and saved him. Dude, that's the good news of the gospel. And I know that's a little different than what you've grown up hearing, perhaps, in the Roman Catholic Church. I'll be leaving your company now, okay?
Okay.
I have just offered you complete forgiveness of sins and everlasting life based on what Jesus Christ has done for you. It doesn't come from me, it comes from him. I'm simply telling you, the Bible makes it so clear that if you do not respond in complete humility, Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. And what he was telling Nicodemus in John chapter 3 is, you've got to die to yourself. You don't kill yourself by jumping off a building. You die. And the way you die, Paul said, Romans 7, the law, the Ten Commandments, should kill you. Jesus, do you remember the Sermon on the Mount when he got up and he said those Beatitudes and those nice statements? They weren't nice statements. They were severe statements. Blessed are those who are broken in spirit, for they will see the kingdom of God. It means the individual who is completely broken, who is entirely undone, dead to self, no longer striving to attain heaven. He has forsaken his good works and cried out to God for mercy. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in the heart. If you have ever been angry with a guy who's an idiot or a moron, the Bible says you're a murderer at heart. That should kill you. It should just bring you to the point where you go, God, I am so sorry. I have just been so wicked. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Save me. And you put your trust in Jesus, and he will. When you die to yourself, he will make you alive again in him, and he will save you. And dude, you'll stop ceasing, and you'll stop striving, and you'll no longer have a guilty conscience, because it will be cleansed. And you will then desire to live a life of righteousness, not to earn heaven, but because heaven has been earned for you. Huge difference. You will be good, not for goodness sake or to be rewarded to get to heaven, but you will be good because the good God, Jesus Christ, has died to save you. Okay? Huge difference. One is works. Your system right now is works. I'm telling you, like Jesus said, cease striving. If you are tired of working, rest in him and his works, and then live a life in response to that. That's the good news of the gospel. And it's completely different than what you've been living by. Mm-hmm. So here's what we got, dude. And I'll leave you with this. If you died now, trying to get to heaven by yourself, you will have failed. Okay? God calls out to you this day. Repent of your good works. Repent of your striving to please him. Humble yourself. And he says when you do that, he will lift you up in due time. Okay? Consider my words very carefully. I'm either right or wrong, okay? I'm not here to sign you up for a cult or in anything else. I'm not going to taser you. I'm walking away. I would plead with your conscience, that thing inside of your brain that says, I haven't been good. I've been bad. Jesus says, I know. In fact, you're worse than you think. But I'm so good, I will save even you. He wants to save you. He wants to rescue you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Repent and trust in him. All right? That's all I got for you today, dude.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. See you.
Thank you.
You're a gentleman. I appreciate it. Goodbye.
Have a nice day.
Goodbye. Well, part of me wonders who you are right now. I know how radio works. I know how this goes. You're tripping around on your radio. You put the scan on and you didn't happen to be under a bridge. And look at that. We showed up. Maybe, just maybe, you heard something of yourself in this young man. You've been trying. And you have been trying. But there's something inside of you, I hope, that will agree. It hasn't been enough. It just has not made my conscience feel any better. Then I would plead with you as earnestly and as gently, perhaps, as I can. You have got to simply lose the self-righteousness. You need to cease striving, trying to earn, trying to get yourself there, trying to present yourself as the acceptable gift to God, because you're not. The only acceptable gift is Jesus, and you must repent and put your trust in Him, and then you will be acceptable to God based on what He has done, despite what you have done. Today is the day of salvation. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.